We are at Hebrew Club. Welcome, everybody. We are on chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, and I think we finished verse 18, in which Saul and David were talking after David had revealed himself, Saul admits that he is after evil, and David, instead of rewarding him with the evil that he deserves, has repaid him with the good. And so we'll pick it up at verse 19. And it goes like this. Ve'ata higadta hayom et asher asita iti tova et asher sigrani Yahweh beyad kavelo haragtani. And you, notice just the spelling of it. There's a little Masoretic footnote out there. The Koray reading has a hey at the end, so it's just a variant spelling. Okay, and as for you, you higadta, you reported Hayom today, et asher, this is what he reported. You reported today how you did with me tova, good, or a good thing. Okay? Et asher, again, how Yahweh, sigrani, delivered me. That's a PL from Sagar, and remember in the call it means to shut up or shut in, and in the PL to deliver. We've seen this before in 1 Samuel. How Yahweh delivered me into Yadaka, your hand, velo haragtani, but you did not kill me. Alright? So we're kind of picking it up in midstream. Notice he's contrasting his own behavior with David's, and so he fronts the verb higadta with this other pronoun, ve'ata, as for you, see, in contrast. You reported today what you did. Okay? Any questions through verse 19? Kind of gets us back on track here. Okay, good. Verse 20. Veki yimsa ish et oivo veshilacho beder tova. Okay, now, veki. And when a man finds, if a man finds oivo, his enemy, okay, veshilchu, notice that Veshilcho, that's a PL from Shalach. when a man finds his enemy, you have to translate this almost as a question. Will he send him, Bederek, will he send him on the way, Tova? Will he send him on a good way? I don't know what a better English translation would be. Will he let him go on a way and then kind of in good health or something like that? See, the obvious answer is no. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Okay? And so notice he doesn't answer it. If a man finds his enemy, will he let him go or release him on a good way or in a good way? Vayahweh yeshalamek ketova. And Yahweh will shalom you. Notice that's a PL from that root shalom. Yahweh will repay you, tova, good. Tachat hayom hazeh asher. Now the word order is kind of strange here, because it's because of. Now just skip the hayom hazeh. Because of what you did for me, hayom hazeh, on this day. So notice Hebrew has it. Because of on this day what you did for me. Okay. Any questions about verse 20? Notice the spelling of the two verbs, asita with a hey at the end of them. Again, those are just help you to mark what the vowel is. They're vowel indicators. Sometimes you have a full spelling like that, and sometimes you don't. It's more usual not to, and it's probably, you know, one of those scribal tendencies that you see. Notice that it says eight times, so notice that the Masoretes have actually noted that at the Masoretic note. Eight times there's a full spelling like this.
How do you know that's eight times?
Because Chet is the number for eight, and ML is the Aramaic abbreviation for Malay, which means full spelling. In other words, with the hey at the end. So that's the Aramaic abbreviation for eight times full spelling.
Is that the eighth letter in the alphabet?
Yeah. Right. That works. And So notice it's kind of interesting just to look at the scribal tendencies. We've been kind of paying a little attention to that. Alright. Alright, we are on chapter 24, verse 21. Alright. Ve'ata hine yadati ki malok tim lok. Okay. And so, hine, look, yadati, I know that malok tim lok. I know that, notice the infinitive absolute here, and listen to the force that I'm suggesting. This isn't the only way to translate it. Now I know that you will reign supreme. Okay, so that the malok tells, I'm interpreting it as it's telling something about the character of his reign, of that action of reigning. You will rule over everything or reign supreme. You could also translate it, you certainly will become king. And that's a more traditional way to interpret, and that's fine. But notice then the force of the infinitive is being interpreted as an assertion. The speaker, Saul, is asserting the truthfulness of what he says. You certainly will become king. Okay? It's a little different nuance. The comma, notice that this is from Kum, and the subject is Mamleket Yisrael, and the kingdom of Israel will rise in your hand or in your power. Alright. Good. Any questions on verse 21?
So the way you translated the kingdom of absolute, would you call that adverbial?
Yeah, I gave it an right. It's telling you something about the quality of the action. Whether that's the best one for this or not is very debatable. Just want you to be aware of that possibility, I guess.
But the two main things for infinitive absolute are adverbial or intensified?
Something like that. The speaker's expressing his strong commitment to what he says. This will certainly happen. Okay, Ve'ata, verse 22. Ve'ata, hishava li by Yahweh, im takrit et zari acharai. And so, hishava. That's the root shava. Notice it's a nifal imperative. What does it mean? Does anyone know?
Swear.
To swear. Nifal imperative to swear. So, hishava, swear to me. By Yahweh. Okay, now notice this is an oath formula. So, im has a special meaning in oaths. Swear to me by Yahweh. And it means surely not. Swear to me, surely you will not cut from Karat, Hifil, surely you will not cut off, Tzari, my seed, Acharai, after me. Notice the im will have the same function in this next clause. Ve'im, and surely not, Tashmid, will you destroy Etshemi, my name, Mibet Avi, from the house of my father. Okay? So in oath formulas, im says, you know, just translate surely not as kind of a base translation, you'll generally be okay. Alright? Verse 23, Vayishava David leShaul, and David swore to Saul. Vayelek Shaul el Beito. Then Saul returned to his house. Va David vanashav. And David and his men, Alu, that's from Allah, went up Al HaMetzuda, went up to the stronghold where they were before. So they made themselves safe again. Because remember, they're still kind of on the run. Okay? Good. Any questions through this verse? Yes?
In 22, the Hishava.
Yes. Right.
Is that hey, that thing you were talking about?
Yes, good. I'm glad you pointed that out. Notice the hey on the imperative again. You're getting very used to it. Something done in the interest or for the benefit of the speaker. Saul is really asking David to swear for Saul's own benefit, see? And notice it's followed by a li. So swear to me. So swear, and then it's for my benefit.
And so why is it that in, like, on the other one, it's something written in the margin, but there's nothing. There would be nothing written in the margin on this one.
Let's see. Which one is written in the margin? What are you referring to?
The one you were talking about before.
The hay? Yes. Because there's nothing in this one because there's evidently no alternative reading or anything. Usually when there's a note, they may be reflecting another reading or a traditional way that the text is read, maybe other manuscripts.
So this one's always had this.
So this one, evidently, there's just no controversy or no question about it.
Okay.
Right. And again, the hey at the end of the perfect verb is just, it has a different function. There, it is a vowel indicator, the ah ending. See, the hey, remember, without vowels, if you take all the vowels out, how are you going to tell what the vowel is? Well, they have certain consonants that are vowel indicators. Vav being the one you're most familiar with, or yud. Sometimes hey, sometimes aleph. And so sometimes with these perfects, you get a fuller spelling. And they're actually noting that in this manuscript. It's kind of interesting. 8 times that happens. It's weird when you think about it. All the stuff you guys worry about as seminaries, they're worried about completely different stuff. Kind of weird. All right, anything else through 24? All right, chapter 25. Vayamat Shemuel. Now, see, this is interesting how just quickly this huge event happens, and it's just described, and you go on. One verse. Vayamat Shemuel. So Samuel died. Okay? Doesn't say how, or, you know, remember earlier we saw that he was getting old and he had that speech. So here, Vayikatsu Kol Yisrael, and all Israel gathered. Notice, what's the conjugation of kavats?
Niphal.
What does that indicate?
Reflexive.
A more reflexive or intransitive. It's not that they gathered sticks or bricks. They gathered together themselves. You could translate they gathered themselves, but in English, we would just say, all Israel gathered. See, we have... We can use gathered with a direct object or without the same way. In Hebrew, it would be call versus niphal. All right? So Samuel died, and all Israel gathered, vayispedu, and they mourned for him. Vayikberuhu, and they buried him from Kavar, and they buried him beveto, in his home or in his house, by Ramata at Ramah. Maybe by his house, I'm not sure. That's a good. Okay. Vayakum David, then David rose, vayered, and he went down to Midbar Paran. Went down to the desert of Paran. Alright? So again, he's continuing his travels. Questions? Yes?
Is there a difference between, like, they gathered, or almost like a passive, like they were gathered? As in the...
Some, if you have a passive, you're usually implying that someone did the gathering.
Right.
They were gathered, and then, you know, by the leader or something like that. And here it seems much more like there was not anything official. It's just that they gathered,
got together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they heard the news and knew what to do. All right. And so notice you got one line. The whole first part, Samuel's a major character. This is very interesting. And sometimes the narrator slows down the narrative and gives a lot of details. Not here. He just tells us he died. They mourn for him. Now you're back to David. Right? The focus is really on David here. Okay. Here's the next incident. Okay, now, take a look at the form of this clause in verse 2. Ve'ish be'ma'on, u'ma'asehu ha'karmel, ve'ha'ish gadol me'od, Velo tzon shaloshet alafim, ve'elef izim, vayehi bigzoz et tzono ba'karmel. Okay, notice that you do not have a vav consecutive starting. Remember, I think I mentioned this before, that when you have an event reporting clause, in other words, when the focus is on an event, not on a person, you have the option of not starting with a vav consecutive. Or also when there's kind of the introduction of a new character, sometimes that is not introduced with a vav consecutive. And notice that's what you have here. A new character is being introduced. We have never seen this guy before. So notice the first thing it does is introduce him and then start to give some details to pin him to the narrative a little better, to explain who he is. Alright? We don't actually get his name till the next verse, but we already get something about him. And so here, it's not that unusual to not have a vav consecutive start. Okay? Ve'ish. Now there was a man, be'ma'on, in ma'on, u'ma'asehu, and his, that's literally, and his work. we would probably say in his possessions or in his stuff, his whatever, his material goods were in Carmel. Okay, so it's from Ma'on, but it was in Carmel. The Ha'ish, and the man Gadol Me'od, was great, very, was very great. Probably meant he was very wealthy. Okay? Velo Tzon, and to him were Tzon, sheep, or he had sheep. Okay? Shalosh et Alfim, 3,000. The Elef, and 1,000, Izim. Notice that the number can come before or after the noun. And don't let that bother you. With collectives, even though it's referring to individual sheep, you have the singular zone. I mean, I don't even know if there's a plural. That's used as a collective too. But you have the plural izim for goats. Notice. I mean, and that's, you're just going to see that kind of variation. Okay? Vayahi big zoos. Gazaz is an infinitive construct to shear. The bait is usually temporal in shearing. Alright? So something like, this is kind of an awkward, Va-Yahi. Now, he was in the middle of shearing, or in shearing, Etzono, his sheep, Ba-Carmel, at Carmel. Okay?
It's almost like paraphrastic.
Yes, just like all of a sudden you put a paraphrase. You just put parentheses there. He's just giving you information, see? So notice he tells you that this guy was from Ma'on, but his stuff was in Carmel. The guy was rich. Kind of tells you how rich he is. That must have been pretty good. It seems pretty big to me, 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. That's a lot of shearing. And then it tells you he's in the midst of shearing in Carmel.
There's no verb, no main verb in this whole
sentence. No, just kind of adding stuff on. Right. And I think that continues here in verse 3. It just continues. V'shem ha'ish. And the name of the man was Nabal. Alright, Nabal. I'll tell you why that's weird. Vashem Ishto, and the name of his wife was Abigail. Abigail. Okay, now here, this is great. Veha Isha Tovat Sekel. And the woman, the wife, was good of Sekel, good of prudence or wisdom. Which would mean in English, the woman was intelligent. Okay. V'fat to'ar yafa, and beautiful in to'ar form. So she was good looking and smart. Alright. Good looking and smart. Yeah. Watch how we have a woman in our midst here. Alright. Now here's the contrast. Veha isha, and her husband, the man, was kasha, hard. Vera ma'alalim. Ma'alalim is in deeds or works, from alal to work. So he was hard and mean of works, mean in works. Alright, so he was hard and mean in works. So, you know, he was just a, I don't know, grumpy and corrigible guy. Harsh and mean in works. Vehu Kalibo. And he was a Calebite, whatever that means. Maybe that explains why he was harsh and mean. I don't know. That's what he was. But so that's just a noun that indicates, it's like a gentilic. And notice, you're supposed to read kalibi rather than that vav at the end of it. Alright, any questions through verse 3? Alright, good. Verse 4. Vayishma David bamidbar. And David heard in the desert, ki gozeis naval etzono, that Nabal was shearing his sheep. Okay. Verse 5, Vayishlach David Asara Na'arim. So David sent 10 Na'arim, young men. 10 young men. Vayomer David, and David said La Na'arim to the young men, Alu, go up, from Allah, imperative, go up, Carmela, to Carmel. Now notice, following the imperative, you have vav plus second plural perfects, very kind of regular. Translate them as imperatives. And go to Nabal, and she'al temlo, and ask... now look at this kind of idiom. And ask, in respect to him, in my name, for peace. Now, that doesn't mean anything that he's asking to make peace. He's simply saying, Sha'al plus shalom is an idiom for to greet. So greet him in my name is good idiomatic English. Sha'al plus shalom. Greet him in my name. Okay? Va'amartem. And say, kol lechai. And say thus. Pause right there. And say thus. Here come the quotes. Lechai. To life. Okay, lechai, to life. And probably that's just a greeting of goodwill. Lechai, to life. Ve'ata shalom, and to you peace. Okay? Or we would say, greetings to you. Uveteka, and peace to your house, and greetings to your house. Ve'kol asher lecha shalom. And greetings to all which you have, all which is yours. All right, so see, I'm translating more idiomatically because it's not as if he's trying to establish an official peace treaty or anything. He's just coming and greeting. All right, one more verse and then we'll quit. Ve'ata, and now, shamati, I have heard, ki gozizim la, that shearers are with you, or that shearing, and I probably translate that as a substantive. Now I've heard that those who are shearing are with you. You see? That you have those shearing. That's what's going on. Okay? Ata, now, ha-ro'im, the shepherds which were to you, or, you know, again in English we'd say, now your shepherds, see, were with us, imanu, were with us. Okay? Not heklam num. Kalam means to be ashamed, but this is a hifil. We did not humiliate them, but we did not take advantage of them. We didn't do any of that stuff. That's what he's saying. Kalam. We didn't put them to shame, disgrace them, or anything. Below, nifkad lahem me'umo. There's that word, nifkad. And we did not visit upon them anything. In other words, we didn't take anything. We didn't harass them. We didn't do any of that stuff. All the days, hekyotam, of their being, from Hayah, infinitive construct, all the days of their being, all the days that they were at Carmel. No, so David is simply saying, look, he sent his men and said, greetings to you, while your shepherds were in our midst, we didn't hassle them. Didn't take anything, didn't ask anything, nothing. Okay? So he's kind of establishing the groundwork for the request that he wants to make. Any questions through verse 7? Alright? Good. This gets to be an interesting answer coming up here soon. Alright, good. Thank you guys, and we'll see you next week.